We've had people filling in, and great job. We're reading a scripture this morning that tells us about what the early church was like as it kind of launched after Jesus' death, and what made it so unique in the world at the time, such that eventually the Christian community broke off from the Jewish community and established what we know as Christianity, because it was doing something so radically countercultural in the world that it was very attractive to a lot of people. And this scripture actually explains a lot of why that happened. So the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Several years ago, I started meeting with a small group of people who had a genuine desire to live in intentional community together. And we started conversing about what that might look like for us. And one in particular had a vision for this for a long time. She wanted to see us create an intentional community somewhere where everybody contributed what they could to this community. If some had financial resources or the means of generating financial means, they would do that. But if others were retired or older or unable to, they would contribute what they could. If those who were mentally or emotionally challenged or unable to contribute in one way, they might tend to animals or gardens or cook or clean or whatever. And children would help out as well, this intentional community. And I got excited by that because I thought, oh, I have a piece of property in Ontario. Let's go there and do that. And we got kind of excited about the possibilities. But in the end, practicalities sort of got in the way, and we didn't continue on with that conversation. But it is still what a lot of people desire and talk about. And I'm in the process of kind of dreaming and talking about doing something like that again as I age. But the early church was radically countercultural to the world of that day. And if we lived in the same way today, we would still and are still called to be countercultural to what the culture does today. You each got cards when you came in today, did you? Does anybody need one? If you do, David's back here. Some people didn't get one. Quite a few, David. We need a helper. Thanks, Phil. A couple over here. Quite a few. You must have come in different doors. We're on this side. Make sure you get a card because you're going to want to write on these. Okay, Maya at the back there. Now, does everybody have writing implements? That's the question. There should be some in the pockets of the chairs. Candace could probably get some crayons if you needed some. Got lots, right? Okay. What I'd like you to then now take out your pens or whatever, and what I'd like you to write on your cards is how much money you have in investments and how much money you have in your savings accounts and whatever in an envelope under your mattresses, you know. What are you laughing at? And then I want you to sign them and bring them up and put them in the offering plate for us.
Julia, that's crazy.
What? That Jody just said it's crazy. Why? So Jody just said that's personal, that's too much information, and it's not something we should share with the church? Yeah. What do I... Anna says, dude, you want us to put your debt in there and maybe we can match up? With them. And I was going to have kids write down everything that's of value to them and put it in there as well. Pardon? Oh, okay. Yeah, Fred Quinton. Okay, Jerry said it's not something we share with the church. What has happened in our culture, though, with money, and particularly in the church? What has happened? Money has become something we are anxious about, something we are fearful about, something we tend to put away, and we won't tell anybody. It's like we keep secrets around money. It's one of the things. It has become, in our culture, God these days. We put more emphasis and more faith in money to see us through, to save us, than we trust God. You know that money is simply a concept, right? Money is a concept. It's not a real thing. We use things to represent money, the concept. We use paper sometimes. We use plastic sometimes. We use a number on our computer screen to represent the idea. And really what we do in our world is we just transfer numbers to a bank account, to a store, to whatever. Money is an idea. It's not a reality. It's something we created to exchange these numbers with each other. Why are we afraid to share them? And why are we afraid to share them with others? We do it. We do some of it. But money has become something much bigger in our society than it needs to be. It has taken over our lives to some degree, and we are very, very private about it. Did you know that up until about 100 years ago, the average person, let alone not having a lot of banks, the average person did not have the capacity to put away anything for the future. Rich people have always had the capacity to put away things. But the average person, it has only been in Western culture, and particularly in North America, that we have been able to put away those numbers as ideas in order to provide for our futures, we say. What we have lost the concept of is that if we don't if we didn't have those numbers, we would have to use what we all had in order to share with each other so everybody would have enough. And this was the concept of the early church. No, that's okay, thanks. You still want to, don't you? We look more to money to solve our problems than we look to each other anymore. This is back to church Sunday. What would it mean to get back to church? What would it mean to take our resources and to share them with each other? The early church did this. Our scripture this morning tells us that they met together regularly, and when there was a need in their community, they recognized it and they helped out. They provided for each other's needs so that everyone in the community was well tended to, well cared for. That is a radically countercultural community that can do that. Okay, I don't want you to write that down. What I would like you to write down, though, is what is your greatest need now? What is your greatest practical, social, emotional need? What it is it that deep, deep in your soul you need? I want you to write that down. I want you to sign it again. And I want you to put it in the offering plate. And next week, we're going to broadcast them and see if there's anybody else in the congregation who can meet that need.
Have you lost it?
What? You're not going to do that either. Why?
I don't know what to do
this. Sir Mycon. Mycon.
Here.
Okay.
That's way too private. And
sharing, blurting out your needs, Jody, if everybody is it's too private.
I'm a private person, and I have no interest in telling everybody what my needs are. I can take care of myself. I don't need people who, you know, feel like they have to take care of me, feel sorry for me, I have a problem.
Okay. So Jody just said, have I lost it? She's not going to tell me what her deepest needs are either. We have become afraid of being vulnerable. We have become afraid of telling people what our deepest needs are because we have promoted, over-promoted independence and individuality and not being vulnerable with each other. And if the church can't be a place where we can be vulnerable and where we can share our needs with each other, where we can tell each other where we're really at. Larry needs a nap. I can see that. That's okay. You got some chairs beside you, if that's what you need. No, the church really is a place. The church, thanks, Corbin. The church really is a place where if we can't be authentic and real with each other, where we can't share our lives with each other, then where in society are these places being created where we can share really who we are, what we're feeling, where we're at in our lives? The scripture we just read this morning says that they met together and they shared so deeply together that they were aware of each other's needs, deepest needs. And wherever they needed to be met, they were met by that community. That is radically countercultural, to create a place where we can truly be vulnerable to each other, share who we are with each other. Okay, last one. Get out your cards. I think lots of people, Corbin, have ones that they haven't written on. Tell me. You want one? How many times a week would you be willing, how many times a week would you be willing to join together with your church community to pray, to study, to eat together, to have people in your home and be together as church community? How many times a week would you be willing to do that?
I'm not writing that down either.
Why aren't you writing that one down? Actually, it is the gospel. I'm not writing that down either because I really like the church, but we have committed ourselves to so many things. We are so busy in our world that to say, I will meet together with other Christians to pray, to study, to eat together, to encourage each other, to build each other up, to be community that is so attractive that that it's like a magnet to other people because we have created that space where people are cared for and tended to and know each other well. We put church or Christianity or our community into a box, and we're willing to give it only so much along with everything else in our lives. When my grandparents, when I was raised by my grandparents, and even in when I was young, we did community together. The church did community together. We did barn raisings, people helped thresh, you know, people helped each other when there was a need. They were always there when there was a crisis. The church was there for each other. It is becoming increasingly difficult for people to carve out time to be in Christian community, to pray, to study, to know scripture, to eat together. The early church, it says, met daily together. The early church ate daily together and shared with each other. And the final part of that scripture said that the church was so attractive that it added numbers daily to the church. If we're going to get back to church, what does that mean today? We're not going to go back to what the early church was. We need to be what the church can be today. It's back to church Sunday. What is it going to take for us to get back to church? Next week, we are going to start